This is the podcast of Theophilus Church. For more information, visit our website at theophiluschurch.com.
Hey, church. We're going to read from Luke 13, starting verse 31. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kills the prophets and stones those against you, those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the nature or the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Hello. Okay, there we go. Oh, welcome to Church Theophilus. Before we get into the sermon tonight, I want to tell you a little bit about this week and what has led up to this gathering time right now. So I'm not supposed to be preaching this evening. Tonight, this was our intern, Jonathan, who's been doing amazing stuff around here. He's been on the schedule to preach tonight for several weeks, and I got a call on Thursday night that Jonathan was in a bad bike accident in Forest Park and got a pretty significant concussion, and the doctor has him in bed. And the great part of the story is several months ago at a staff meeting, Jonathan was telling us how he doesn't wear a helmet when he rides his bike, and we reprimanded him for an hour, and he did have his helmet on. So he should be back with us shortly, but so this sermon comes on a couple days notice and transition, but I don't know if it's without some sort of purpose. Similarly, Megan was not supposed to be leading worship with us tonight. Cassie and Taylor London were on to lead worship, and Taylor's sister she is having a procedure, and so they left and rushed up to Seattle to be with their sister last moment and put, so Megan came and filled in, led by the Spirit as always. And during this, right after Megan's set, as was so cleanly scheduled for our time of worship this evening, was Andy was going to come up and offer us a prayer over the events in Christchurch and what happened this last week, which I know all of us probably are aware of, and lead us in a prayer. But just as the Spirit would lead, that prayer was hijacked and offered through the Spirit from Kathy. And I think it's important that we recognize among us that, like, the Spirit is alive and moving among us. And we cannot, he is in so many ways showing how the Spirit is alive and moving among us. And may we be a people who have our eyes and turn our eyes open and our hearts open to receiving what the Spirit would speak to us and through us. That time of worship for some was like the most freeing thing in the world. And for some of you, it was so painfully awkward. And the lingering silence and the singing in the Spirit and all of that is just like, oh, I don't know what to do with that. And I think more than anything else, like, this is the topic of the sermon today, that I believe that God is inviting us to take our mounting our piles of anxieties, to take them, to just set them down and allow him to do some nurturing on our souls, some like deep healing work on our souls. So however that looks for you tonight, however you need to allow the Spirit to do some work on your souls, I just want to bring an invitation for us to make ourselves, put ourselves in a posture of receptivity to the Lord tonight, because he is among us. Tonight, the sermon is in large part about fear. If you were reading through the lectionary this week, you will notice that every single reading in the lectionary this week has to do with fear and overcoming fear and dealing with fear and wrestling with fear. Fear has a very live involvement in my life. There's many things that I'm fearful of. I'll share part of that in a little bit. But I know that like that is something that like unites us as humanity, right? If we go around this room, that is one common denominator that unless you are lying to yourself, it is something that you would have to share with somebody else. I am fearful of, it's not are you fearful of anything, is what are you fearful of? We all have those things that we are afraid of. When I think of this thing, fear, there's one story. If there's something that could just capture my worst nightmares in like one story, I heard this experience communicated by a friend of mine on a hike that he had. We're on this hike through this Olympics, me and several guys, and one of the guys was a diver in the Coast Guard, one of those like crazy special ops guy. And we were talking about, you know, how did you get into that? And he was, you know, it was like a hardcore part of the military, and he always knew that he needed to be in, you know, he was a hardcore military guy, and so he needed to be in one of these, you know, things. And I was like, so were you like a swimmer in high school? He goes, no, actually the funny thing is I didn't know how to swim when I applied to get into this. And you had to like tread water or swim a certain number of laps in order to pass like stage one of this thing. And he couldn't do it. And he had a guy who would work with him over and over and over again. He's learning how to swim to become a Coast Guard diver. And so he finally overcomes that and he gets into the Coast Guard. And I said, what was the scariest situation that you ever experienced in the Coast Guard? He goes, funny thing is it happened while in training. I said, okay, illuminate me. What happened during training? One night, his crew, there's four people, they got up in a helicopter, and as was customary, they did this often, they flew into the middle of the Pacific Ocean to where you couldn't see any land anymore. This particular occasion, they were doing it at night. So it was the middle of the night, couldn't see anything. They fly in the helicopter out into the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and four divers jump out of the helicopter into the ocean, and they tread water there while the helicopter circles around them. So they would do this stuff. Four guys treading water out in the middle of the ocean, kind of creepy, but there's four of them. Helicopters going around, then all of a sudden, they start to drop the basket one by one to take the divers out. Take the first guy out, take the second guy out, take the third guy out. It's just him in the water. But this time, the bucket doesn't come back down. Instead, the guys in the helicopter take a flotation device with a blinking unit on it, throw it out to him. He grabs onto it, and the helicopter takes off. So here he is in the middle of the Pacific Ocean at night with nothing but a blinking flotation device in like, I mean, can you think of a situation that's worse than that? I said, what'd you do? He goes, all I had on me was my knife. And I just knew in that moment that I felt something bump up against my leg. I knew something was circling around me. And he says he takes that knife, and as he's treading water, he's like literally like stabbing at water, just like going like this for what was over an hour that he was there by himself. He's stabbing at the water. He doesn't know, he just knows he's going to get eaten. And finally, after an hour, the helicopter comes back. They pull him up. They throw the thing down. They pull him up. And I said, what'd you do when he got in the helicopter? He's like, I cussed those guys out one side and down the other, right? He just starts yelling at the guys and, what are you doing? Turns out they were super low on fuel. And if they would have got him, there's chances that they wouldn't have made it back. So they had to go fuel up, come back and get him. And he was left there in the middle of the night. In so many ways, the story today has a lot of parallels, and I'll kind of unpack that, to this story. You see, in this story that we just read, the Pharisees, who are notorious for being against Jesus, all of the sudden they come up alongside Jesus. They put their arms around him, and they say, hey, let me let you into a little bit of a secret. I'm gonna enter you into a little bit of secret. Herod wants to kill you. You need to get out of here. What are they doing here? The Pharisees, as we know them, unless they had this total like change in their like relationship to Jesus, in their heart of hearts, they want Jesus out of Jerusalem. They don't want him there. He is toxic to what they are trying to accomplish. So how they know that they can come alongside Jesus. They can tap into this thing that exists in every single one of us, this thing called fear. They can speak fear into Jesus, and fear in this situation is very closely connected to truth. Were the Pharisees lying to Jesus? They were not lying to Jesus. Herod wanted to kill Jesus. And what they were trying to accomplish through this fear was to get Jesus out of their city. And in large part, I think what happens, like this happens in our lives all the time. You know what? I'm going to go because I can feel myself doing something. And so now's the time to talk about it. I'm going to talk about what I was going to talk about at the end right here in the front. So put a pause on that, and we're going to come full circle. We're going to start here. 90% of you in this room know what my biggest fear and struggle has been behind this stand over the last 3-4 years at Theophilus. It's a fear of speaking. I have a fear of speaking that I have never had before in my entire life. It didn't exist prior to Theophilus. It was something I loved to do. I came here and I developed this fear. And in large part, that fear stems from this idea that, you know, I grew up playing sports in Southern California. That's what I did. That was my life. Sports were my life. And because of that, growing up through high school or whatever, I was like, the narrative that I fed into myself was, I'm the dumb jock, right? I'm the guy who doesn't have necessarily anything eloquent to say. But I had my domain. I had my environment that I could thrive in among fellow athletes, people that I understood and understood me. When I came to Theophilus and I stand in front of people who I'm like, oh my gosh, your minds are like a step above mine. And so I stand behind this pulpit and I would try to communicate words that I want to be eloquent and I want to be to plant and to take root in your life. And the harder I try to do that, the more the narrative comes back onto me that they can read right through you, Cameron. You're just that dumb jock. You're the guy that doesn't have anything eloquent to say. And then I believe that narrative about myself, and then I can't speak. And then it comes out, and then it physically manifests in my body, and I break down, and I have a panic attack before your eyes, and I have to sit down and shake my head and just be like, ah, even right now, my mouth, cotton. Several weeks ago, or like several months ago, was the first time I used to walk off the stage, go in the back, and like want to crawl out of my skin. And several months ago, I was in, and I felt it going, and I just finally said, stop it. Let's name this thing. Named what was actually going on, and could feel that fear be released. And as I felt that fear be released, I started to see you in a different light, in your true light. Not as the people looking upon me with condemnation and judgment for not being eloquent in speech, but for being a people who loves me and has relationship with me and I with you. Now all of a sudden the eyes, the lens from which I look at you changed into a more Christ-like lens than what I had before. But there's something that had to happen in order for that to take place. I had to name the truth. I had to name it, face it, put it out there, verbalize it, feel risk, shame, risk that side of things in order for that side of me to go away. Jesus, when Herod sends this indictment, he has to face the reality that these Pharisees are giving to him. Fear is always connected with some sort of truth. That's what this speaking thing is for me. It's a struggle for me. It can take hold of me sometimes. I have to face that reality at times. I got to work at it. I got to press into it. And Jesus then, he takes that narrative and he flips it on its head. This is the part of the story that I just think is so masterful of what Jesus does in this. They said, Herod wants to kill you. And he says, you go tell that fox. Look at this imagery that he's working with. What is a fox? A fox is a mischievous little creature. And a fox has a certain element of power. Later, we're going to see that Jesus identifies himself as a hen, a motherly hen. If you put a fox and a hen in a ring together, who would you cast your bet on? You'd cast your bet on the fox. Jesus is not destroying this idea that Herod has the ability to kill him. He doesn't say, you go tell that fox that I'm a lion and we'll see who wins this battle, right? He says, you go tell that fox that I got a mission to accomplish. I'm going to heal the blind. I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to cast out demons. And on the third day, we know what happens on the third day, that fox will be defeated. But look what else he does with that imagery. Who is Herod? He's the king of the Jews. What is the kingly equivalent of a creature? It is a lion. So he says, you go tell that mischievous creature that has the authority to kill my flesh that he's no lion. And he can go around and keep on causing mischief and sowing discord in lives. He may even take my body. But the real victory is going to be had in 3 days. That's where the battle will be won. And then he does this beautiful cry out to his people. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How I have longed to gather you like chicks underneath my wings as a motherly hen. Jesus can choose any image in the world to identify with, and he chooses a motherly hen to crawl underneath his wings. Those hens are you and me. I think if we can come back to the beginning imagery, we were talking a little bit before this service. Fear and the powers of fear, not just personal fear of our own lives, like personal circumstances, what's going to happen with our jobs, our families, like that compiles on top of communal fears, what's going to happen to our community during this time of transition and to these relationships and things like that, to national and international fears, what's going to happen to our world. We are a people who exist in a context of crippling fear. In so many ways, we are in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the night, and we are so convinced that there is something circling around us. And instead of grabbing on to our blinking safety device that has been thrown out of the helicopter for us, to taking this opportunity, as insane as it sounds, to grab onto that device and to look into the heavens and gain a perspective of the stars from the middle of the ocean, unlike you've ever had before, to feel the waves and to rest in this fact that that blinking flotation device is there is the fact that somebody's coming back to rescue you. You have not been abandoned. Thank you for that, Andy. He planted that in me earlier today. And you're laying there, you gaze on the stars. No, instead, fear, it has this propensity to overwhelm us from the inside out. So we stab and we stab and we stab and we stab. We're looking for what's going around us and all of our attention is going that way. And then when the hen comes over us to put its arms around us, sometimes we can't tell the difference between a fish and a shark, or a hen and an invasive creature. This is the story of Jesus. The incarnation is the story of Jesus entering into a story that he doesn't belong into. Jesus doesn't belong on earth as this earthly creature, yet he entered it. And he spreads out his wings to a bunch of scattered hens, and he covers them up to protect them. And yet, so often, we are the ones, this is what happens in the crucifixion, is that wing comes over us, but it feels a whole lot more like invasion than it does protection. And so we kill it from the inside out. Get off of me. And we find out on Easter that that's not the end of that story. But we then, as the body of Christ, are invited to rid ourselves of fear, to rest in the protection of the covering of the hen, and to extend that as little Christs to others around us. But we cannot extend what we have not first received. And I think that in large part, though we are on different levels as individuals, speaking as a community, that is step one for us, is to open ourselves up in a place of receptivity to the Spirit of God that wants to rid us of fear in our lives. So how can we start to take steps in that direction? I think it is so utterly imperative that we learn to confess our fears, to speak them, to name them. Name our fears, name our anxieties. Name them to the Father and name them to one another. And it is in the process of naming those things that I believe with all of my heart that we will start to see the chains of fear come off of our lives. And we will have eyes to see and hearts to sense the movement of the Spirit around us. And when we are shaped by that, we too will become little hens that can then gather those under our wings. I don't have anything else to say other than that. Tonight, I want to start that conversation, start that process, start that invitation for us to own, take ownership of, and to begin to name our fears and allow the Spirit to do a work among us. I'm going to invite you to do that in really three ways tonight. One, if you haven't even named your fears to yourself yet, if you haven't been honest with yourself, I encourage you to linger, to spend some time in silence, and to identify the fears that have you captive in your life. If you have lingered in that space and you've identified your fears, but you have never brought those fears to the Lord, I invite you to bring those fears to the Lord tonight. You can do that at the altar. You can write them down. You can leave them at the table. You can identify those fears to the Lord. And if you've done that, if you've brought your fears to the Lord and have never shared them with somebody else, I invite you to share with others tonight. You're going to have, every week, we have people along these walls that pray for you. If you have somebody close to you that you can share and that you trust with, I invite you to do that tonight. You can find me, any of our elders, to begin to do that. Let's begin to just find a sense of freedom and release in the Spirit as we pursue that together. I'm going to invite Megan to come back up and lead us into worship. Use this time at the table to linger. We're going to come, as we do every week, to partake of the Lord's Supper together. This is a table that's open to all. Linger here at the front. There's gluten-free elements at all stations. Please come to the table.
You've been listening to the podcast of Theophilus Church. We hope you've been inspired and challenged by what you've heard. For more information, visit our website at theophiluschurch.com.